Hello, this is Reverend John Harfouch, and you're listening to the Christian Harfouch Ministries podcast. We have a message for you today from Apostle Dr. Christian Harfouch. For more information, live broadcasts, and video teachings, connect with us online at globalrevival.com and join us every week for the Christian Harfouch Ministries podcast.
Glory! Glory! Do you have your Bible? I want you to get your Bible in your hand, please. And I'm going to have us turn together. And if you have your Bible, your hard copy Bible, printed Word of God, it'll be good. If you don't and you're looking at an app, make sure it's a good app, right? Yes. So that it'll have the good Word of the Lord. And if you're watching by phone, let's look at it that way. Father, we thank you for the short time we have together today. We thank you for making every word received on the level of your intention. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you can look with me at the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, we're going to go to the great catch, and then we are going to follow the direction of the Lord. And this is very important for the believers, very important for the ministers, because by the direction of the Lord, I'd like to get into God. I'd like to get into God today. Are you catching? Because if God be for us, let me stop. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now that word God is talking about God. So if this world is talking about God, and this skeptic is talking about God, and this shallow swimming Christian is talking about God, it's going to be a little different than when God is talking about God. Now, don't be nervous just because you're going to get delivered. You're only going to get set free from the part that's harassing you. There is no reason why the church should have anxiety with God on her side. There is no reason the church should have fear when God is on her side. So when we get into God today, every bit of anxiety will have no place. Now let me tell you, anxiety has no place here. But today I serve notice on anxiety. It has no place in my presence. Fear has no place in my presence. Personal agendas have no place in my presence. Human opinions of contradiction have no place in my presence. Only the yes and amen that are in the hearts and the lips and the lives of true believers are applauded by us today. So we're talking about this miracle But we're talking about some things that I'd like to cover them. Give someone a high five today and say, today, I'm following the word of God. John chapter 21, and if we can, for the sake of time, verse 9, as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring ye of the fish which you have caught now, or you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine or come and eat. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And if you look at verse 15 briefly for the sake of time. So when they had dined. So in other words, they did eat. Is that correct?
Yes.
They had dined. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
They did what? They did eat. And so we had already read in the Word of God in Acts chapter 10 when the Apostle Peter was preaching to Cornelius' household, and he said how Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to people chosen beforehand. And not to everybody, but to those chosen beforehand with whom he said he did eat and drink with us. So we see here the account of the eating and the drinking. And then we also see that the Lord served the apostles, seven of human beings. He served bread and fish. Amen?
Amen.
So today I want to minister to you the word of the Lord a little bit from the word God, uncontested. He's without dispute. He's beyond refutation. He cannot be opposed and he cannot be challenged. He is God. He's always been God, and he always will be God, and he's got plans for your life. They're plans of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He's with you always to the end of the age. God with you is the majority. God uncontested. And so if you may be seated for a moment. In this miracle, which to me is the relationship of Christ post-resurrection, after he paid the price, after he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and after he rose victoriously, the scriptures are clear that he shows himself alive, or reveals himself. It uses the word, he revealed himself as alive on this fashion. So on this fashion means in the fashion where the result is supernatural. The shore has got coals and fire and fish and bread. And we have just caught what is beyond our net to ever catch. And on that shore, something happened. Now, I won't go into much except the fact that when he said, bring of the fish you have caught, and we caught 153 fish. Now, we counted them, 153 fish, Apostle Peter, his brother, John, his brother, sons of Zebedee, and then Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and two other apostles that are not named. And we caught this fish called Biney. This is the fish that, if you dig in and study, you'll find out that is the kind of fish that is still most coveted between the two rivers, and that is the Abrahamic region of the world where he came from, between the rivers, in the Chaldea, and came down. This is the most coveted or desired kind of fish, is the biney fish. It can grow up to a small size would be about 12 pounds, medium size or large, which these were described as megas in the Greek, or very large according to the writings of Johanna or John. And so even without a miracle, they're about 25 pounds each. So when you do the math, they're about 3,800 pounds. And then when you look at the list of pricing per pound released formally, which we've unearthed by the Roman Empire, and you do the calculations, you end up with 153 alabaster boxes worth of financial blessing. Meaning that when you're in Tiberias, you're in the Lake of Tiberias. So all around that area, there are fishermen and fishing boats. Hundreds of them normally. Sometimes thousands. See, I'm not talking to you about 2,000 years ago. I'm talking to you about the Lord on your shore today. I'm not talking to you about Peter's boat. I'm talking to you about the boat of your life. I'm not talking about some historic event. He's not a historic Savior. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's alive today. He's here right now. He is bigger than the politics of this planet. He's bigger than the monarchs of this planet. He's bigger than the economies of this planet. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Glory be to God. I want you to follow me as I preach the word of the living God to you. If you love your Bible, hear it. How many love your Bible? Lift your head, shout, woo! See, some people had your hand obey you, but your mouth didn't obey you. If you love your Bible, lift your hand and shout, woo! There you go. Somebody said, I've never seen anybody like that Harfush guy. He just comes down and gets almost in your lap. Oh, I'll get in your face. Because I know what it's like to be a victim by opinion of the adversary. I know what it's like to have my life be on the target for over 9 times. But he could not kill me. He could not stop me. Because my God put his call on my life and sent me to the nations of the world to raise up a generation that will preach the good news and the glad tidings of Almighty God. You are a dead man raiser. You're a gospel preacher. You're a minister of the word of the living God. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have the prayers of your parents overcome the plans of your enemy. I know what it's like. So if I have to get in, you know, on you a little bit, I'll do it, because you're too valuable to the Lord and to me. Starting to feel good in here. So normally, hundreds of fishing boats, normally. Now, at that time in the morning, it may have been, you know, different because night had happened, right? But sometimes thousands of boats, the economy around the Lake of Gennesaret or Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee, same place, fishing was a thriving business. And we're out fishing. Cephas or Peter went out, said, I go fishing. And six other people said, we go with you. Could have been a while. I don't know that they haven't gone fishing in a long time, because they were busy with the Lord. Anointing people with oil, praying for them, getting them healed, baptizing them. And having a move of God. Then all of a sudden, the Lord looks like, you know, he's just given it all up. He's even like advising John, take care of Mary. See, it takes a little bit of time to be bouncing back into that kind of a miracle. And I talk to you about it today. And I talk to people all over the world about it today. And whenever you get to the realm of the excessive supernatural, most Christians just tempted to get tilted and doubted as if it's some kind of a fantasy. And yet we all believe that Christ is who he says he is. Yes. How many of us believe that? Shout yes. Yes. Well, he doesn't know how to be ordinary. He doesn't know how to be limited. He doesn't know how to be inhabited by opposition or restricted by opposition. So we're throwing the net in and we're catching nothing. And he said, throw the net in on the other side of the ship and you will find. And we throw the net in and we can't draw the net up. Now stop for a minute and talk about John, just for a minute, the Apostle John. Because we're going to get into God today. Yes. And we get into God, you won't have an excuse. I think today, before the night is over, you won't have an excuse for one moment of delay in your life. John the Beloved, or the theologian, or the revelator, or the disciple whom Jesus loved, etc. He's putting this on record for you and I in the form of scripted text, inspired by God to give it to us. And it's probably around 90 to 95 AD. That means Christ ascended somewhere around 30 AD. And this was the tradition, the doctrine, the story, and the knowledge of the church from 30 to 95 AD. Before it was written. It's very important. Somebody says, well, what do you mean? Well, I mean that we never had to doubt it,
Because we had seven brothers that we can trust fully that were there. And we have the Lord. How many know the Lord appeared for 40 days to about 500 people, brethren. And he showed himself alive to each and every one of them and showed that he's indeed risen and not a ghost. So there's no doubt about it. The community of believers, we met together and we understood what it was like. Besides, I don't want to get ahead of myself. The apostle, how many believe the scripture is the word of the living God? Yes. Not an opinion, not tradition, not subject to debate, alive. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. He is who he says he is. He will do what he says he will do. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. And as I believe it today, I can do it. Well, if you believe it, jump up, give God the greatest shout of praise. Glory! Glory! Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! And so you may be seated. Now this is powerful that it was shared, it was taught, it was preached. But very important, when the Lord says, bring ye of the fish you have now caught, and in the original grammar of the Greek, bring ye of the fish you have caught now. Bring ye of the fish you have caught now. So here's the Lord, and for a minute, we'll see he's the resurrected Savior. He's already conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he told us directions, and when we obeyed his faith, we caught unprecedented result. And the net did not break. And then when we got to the shore, we looked, and he had fish, and he had bread, and he had coals. And he said, bring of what you caught. So he's inviting us to a mutual banquet from where the divine is to where the redeemed are. Where the redeemer is to where the redeemed are. And he doesn't say, you can't eat with me because I'm on this side now. No, no. He says, come on, we can eat together, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to from now on cause anything and everything that you honor me with in your life to become sanctified and uncommon and unclean, so they can bless your life and bless your household and bless your family. Help me today, because I don't want to preach too long. So that number 153 is in the Bible, and I don't want to go into all the details, but it's in there for a reason. And so one of the things, in case you haven't heard my teaching on this, one of them is that it's the numerical value of the Hebrew words for sons of God. So Beni El Elohim is 153. It's the exact. It's very important. That means on that shore, there are the redeemed that he calls sons of God by virtue of the fact that you're born again of incorruptible seed. And then you know the rest of them. But here's where I want to go today. Two things. One is 153 times in the book of Genesis, the book of Moses, is the name of God fully declared. 153 times the full name, the tetragrammaton name of God, is in the book of Genesis. 153 times. The name of God. So now we see the Genesis of the new covenant. And we see 153, and it is the exact mathematical words to the Hebrew or the Aramaic word Ani Elohim, or I am God. I'm going to stop for a minute in case you don't know where I'm going. Jesus was more than a great preacher. Jesus was more than just a prophet. Jesus was more than just our Lord and our Redeemer. Jesus is also our God and our Deliverer. Because the Christ, according to the Word of God, is declared by John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then we go down and says, and the Word became flesh, or became a human, or was incarnate, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only one of His kind. Extraordinary. Yes. Without any beginning of days nor end of life. Are you listening?
Yes.
So, I am God. Well, sure. Sure, that means something. Who else? Who else can get us that result? Who else can get us that result? And so I'll just quote scripture to you and you take notes. Because that's it. I'm talking to believers. So how many believers do I have here? So since I'm talking to believers, the address, you can find it. You can find the address. I don't need to take you to the address. So if you go to the original or the earliest English Bibles, or some French Bibles or some Latin Bibles or some Aramaic Bibles, if you go to the early ones, even handwritten ones, or when the printing press was discovered, you will see that it's mutually theological, proper, scriptural, for it to be translated, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. So you see that throughout the Bibles. If you do have any 500-year-old Bibles, 400-year-old Bibles that are legitimate, you'll see that that is also like that. And it's from the earliest manuscripts. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
And so now we're talking about the only begotten of the Father. When we look at the doctrine of the apostles, they talk about us being born again, not of what? But of incorruptible. How? Quote the scripture to me today. Don't act like I'm not teaching you anything. I know better than that. Quote the scripture to me. Being born again, not of what? But of what? By the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Notice that is prescripted word. That is the word that liveth and abideth forever. That is the word that is in the dateless past. That is the word that is before time was created. Time is a created commodity, created by the Lord Himself. By Him all things consist and have their being. Glory be to God. Are you listening to me? Because nothing was created without the word of God. And so very important to know that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, meaning that from eternity past, and that's what beginning means. In the original language, beginning means before time. Beginning means the most archaic. Now, in case we don't believe that, God gave us a scripture within the context of time. And He spoke it like this. Lift your hands and shout hallelujah three times.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
It's not what He said. That's what I said. But He said it like this. He said, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, or king in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old, even from everlasting. So he's been impillared from everlasting. So now you see, he's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about God the Word. He's talking about God the Son. He's talking about God the Father and the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten of the Father before all ages. It's very important, because most people don't know God, because they think God had to make up a son in order to redeem Adam. But God didn't have to make up a son. God predetermined to have within his own self-sufficiency. He didn't need any of us. He didn't need our fish. He didn't need our boat. He didn't need our net. He didn't need our help. He had his own self-sufficiency. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. He planned you. He's got plans for you. My God. Now I'm talking to you about something God planned before he made the world. He planned the family. He planned the people. He planned the redeemed. He planned the sanctified. And he planned to fill the universe with eternal redeemed creatures that are serving him out of love. And not serving him out of necessity. Glory be. That's why God sent me to you. Because you don't have the right to have the wrong opinion about yourself. You're a child of the living God. My. So, you may be seated now. By definition, God is uncontested. By definition, means God can't be messed with. Who's going to challenge the Almighty? Listen, God is not in a fight to prove his Godship. So is he not all-knowing?
Yes.
Is God not all-knowing?
Yes.
Well, before God created things, did he not know?
Yes.
And so the Lord had within the Godhead a relationship that he wanted to perpetuate and a co-substantiality, the same substance, the same nature, the same person, the same oneness. So but the relationship of the Father and the Son, or the God, the Father and God, the Word, is eternal. Because the agency of the Word will bring about everything that is relevant to cosmos or universe or time. He created all things by Jesus Christ. He didn't create all things by artificial intelligence. And I'm going to throw this out. Most people are afraid of artificial intelligence because they're, and rightly so, maybe, you know, the devil's had artificial intelligence for thousands of years. But it's artificial. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish. But we have the mind of Christ. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. And so people are afraid that artificial intelligence is going to get its own what? Its own free will? No, I'm serious. How many understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Do you know why people are afraid of that? Because they know the danger of having a will. So you think people are going to know the danger of having a will? And all-knowing God is not going to know? Then when he creates the angelic host And when he creates the armies of heaven, that somebody's going to get an idea through limited understanding of and perception of the wisdom and the might of Almighty God. And they're going to think they can overthrow God. And they're going to say, I will be like the Most High. You think God didn't see that coming? Or do you think God had to struggle to kick the devil out of heaven? Or did he just go, pew, and then next thing you know, the earth is off its axis. And so, come on, somebody. And Almighty God didn't leave it at that. God went ahead and created man out of the dust of the ground and made him a living soul. But all along, the plan of God was for man to be revealed in the person of the incarnate Word of God, Christ Jesus the Lord. That was the man. Do you know what the Bible says, brother? It says he's the last Adam. That doesn't mean he's the plan B. He didn't say, I am the plan B. He said, I am the Aleph. I am the Tau. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. And I'm the last. God didn't have a plan B. God had a plan A. He had a plan, and that is the plan that through his son, the gift of his son, he would populate heaven with sons and daughters that are born of the Word of God, and listen, born from above and born again, and dying to the old Adam and resurrecting to the real Redeemer, recognizing that God had foreordained them and pre-planned them in himself so that we can allow him to take us up to a heavenly eternity with him to be delivered. That's why you don't have to struggle to win over the adversary, because God is on your side. God is in your being. God is in your heart. God is in your life. God is every aspect of your being. Glory be to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so for the first time, and you understand I'm scanning a lot, but I'm scanning a lot to get to one point. Today, I'm talking about God. See, if God just went around and just had to run around through the maze for thousands of years to undo what the devil did, we'd have to wonder, is he really God? No. No. So when the fullness of time came, it came time for a performance of a covenant or a promise God made to Abraham that, according to the Apostle Paul and the Apostles Peter and others, that this covenant with Abraham was made with Abraham and his seed, who is Christ, and his seed, who are believers. And that the blessing of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the Lord, our Savior, became fully man, but he remained fully God. How many understand what I'm talking? Right now I'm talking about fully God. That's what I'm talking about fully God. In other words, our Lord did not lose his divinity by assuming our humanity. That's what's so wonderful about it. And this is, you talk about the catch of fish. Carrie, that fish we caught, the 153 fish, we couldn't catch without the Lord. Let me take you a little farther, because some of you are a little bit IMI'd out. The Sea of Tiberias is the lowest clear water sea on planet Earth. The lowest sweet water sea. And the difference with that biny fish that's in it and what is in other places that have marsh, stagnant waters, is that the river Jordan from beneath refreshes that sea. So theoretically as well as practically speaking, when we threw the net in, we were fishing in the lowest place on planet Earth. And yet we caught what we could never supply for ourselves. My God. My God. We caught what we could never supply for ourselves. See, the Lord is not looking for the odds. Ani Elohim. I am God. Our Lord is our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Mediator, our Intercessor, our Helper, our Father, our Progenitor through the living Word of God. It's powerful, powerful. Let me give you a verse of Scripture so you don't get confused, because we ascribe to the Trinitarian formula, but I don't want to, in any way, assume that I'm going to interpret the Trinity to you. I'm just saying it's undisputable that Christ is co-substantial with the Father. And it's undisputable that he's without beginning of days nor end of life. Now we look at Melchizedek and the writings and the teachings of the writer to the Hebrews. Did you get in today? Did you get in today? Oh, why are you all scrambling? She's all right. Isn't that right? The writer to the Hebrews says about Melchizedek that his genealogy is not on record. And so because of that, having no father, no mother, no beginning of days, nor end of life, abides like unto what? Like unto what? Like unto the Son of God continually. Abideth the priest like unto the Son of God continually. Well, the Son of God, our Savior, had a mother.
Yes.
But we all know where he came from.
Yes.
So in the life of Melchizedek, there was no recorded ancestry, and so that he would successfully be like unto the Son of God, meaning that he would be like unto who the Son of God is, meaning having no beginning of days nor end of life. Glory be to God. And so this is why the prophecy says, unto us a child is born, a son is given. It goes on to say all these other things. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Say that next one. Shout that one. The one before it. Shout it. Shout it again. So in other words, from everlast, God predetermined sonship in your life that can only come through the only begotten, the one and unique, the one and only begotten Word of the living God, who will put on humanity and lay down his life. Lay down his life so that we can rise up with him to levels of communication and communion and unity. Glory be to God forevermore. Everlasting, are you following? So, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Thank God forevermore. Thank God forevermore. Thank God forevermore. Thank God forevermore. Now, one thing we know is this. I'm going to give you a simple thing and then move on. I hear people all the time say, they say things like this, and it could be adjusted. How many think we can adjust our sayings? People say things like this. Almighty God in heaven is looking down on earth, and he wants to do this, that, and the other for you. He wants to bless you. Well, hold on a minute. Is Almighty God only in heaven?
No.
Woo! I told them we're going to get into God. So where the Lord said, where you are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. He's saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. He's saying, I'm with you. He's saying, I'm with you. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Do you have a minute?
Yes.
Wow. So the meeting on the shore there with enough catch to give every apostle 10 to 20 years funding. Every seven of them, every one of the seven could have received 20 years worth of funding via the price list of the Roman Empire per pound. And that kind of catch that they caught. Some of us have never heard this. How many have never heard this? Wave at me. You never heard this. How many heard it in my previous teachings? Wave at me. Okay. That's good. And so it's very important. But when we came to the shore, having been empowered by the Lord, we found out that he had his own. Well, how did it get there? Well, I guarantee that I don't think that the women disciples went and cleaned the fish and gutted the fish and brought the coals. I think this was a kingdom economy activity. I think that the divine moved in on preparing something for the redeemed. And somebody said, well, that's not in the Bible. Fine, then don't believe it like that. But believe the fact that he had his own fish. We don't know where it came from. And believe the fact that he invited us to come and bring some of ours. We have that. And believe what it said. He took bread and gave them. And took fish and gave them. When God touches your mouth, he changes your life. Jeremiah was touched by God. And God said, before you were in the womb, when you were in the belly, I knew you. And he said to him, don't call yourself young. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't say I'm too young. I'll put my word in your mouth. And I'll set you over kingdoms and over nations to uproot, to throw down, to destroy, to build, and to plant. My God. God touched the lips of Isaiah. The angel flew with the tongs and with the coal and touched his lips, and God said, your sins are atoned. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Before the Lord sends the church, he's got to touch your lips. Today, there is a confession in your mouth that says, my God will supply. My God will secure. My God will protect. My God will preserve. My God will help. My God will direct. Glory to God. Come here. Come here real quick. Come on, man. Come on, man. Lift your hands to the Lord. I loose the power of God on you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I loose the power of God on you today. So he touches our lips with that, with the bread and with the fish. And that's communication between we, the redeemed, that are actually called. We're called to be transfigured. We're called to be changed. We're called to be caught up. We will live forever in a glorified body.
Yes.
But now the Lord was there in a never to die body. Never to die body. He doesn't any longer have to succumb to the limitations of humanity. No, because here's what we couldn't do. Just like we couldn't catch the fish, we couldn't redeem ourselves. But in eternity past, before there was time, God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give both my angels free will. Are you listening to? And then I'm going to make man in my image. I'm going to start a project. I'm going to give man free will. And then he predetermined what man is going to be and what he has chosen man to be. And man was supposed to be good and holy and righteous and triumphant and victorious. And all these things were resident in our Lord. They're already in our Lord. Is this too far for you? Uncontested. See, when the Lord says throw your net in and you catch what you've never caught, even though you've been a professional fisherman for all your life, he is God uncontested. When the enemy tries to kill you and puts out a hit on your life and the angels of God protect you, he's God uncontested. When he calls you and he enables you and he strengthens you and he leads you to arrive to your destination, he is God uncontested. When you sow the seed and God multiplies it and brings it back in the form of hampers and baskets, he's God uncontested. When the doctors give up on you and the diagnosis is terminal, but God moves in your life and answers your prayer and heals your body, he is God uncontested. He's irrefutably God. 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 He's uncontested. He'll take care of you. He'll lift you up to another level in your faith. Come here. Come here. He'll lift you up to another level in your faith. He'll lift you up to another. He's uncontested. When your enemy comes against you and flees before you, he is God uncontested. And it's always like that because it's not when we see the result. Woo! Glory to God. Do you have a minute? You may be seated if you can. Someone would read that, and we read, and none of them dared to ask him who he is because they all knew who he was. That's not talking about recognizing or discerning that it's our Lord. It's irrefutable evidence. John said he showed himself alive on this wise. So we see the degrees. He appears, he takes our bread, blesses it, and breaks it. He asks us, do we have food? And we have a honeycomb and fish. But then all of a sudden he says, do you have food? And interestingly, it was the alabaster box that caused Judas to say, and the apostles to say, it's 300 denarii. Could have been given to the poor. So he went and made a deal for 30 pieces of silver. Because it was, the alabaster box was a year's wages. And this was 153 alabaster boxes. Fishermen can calculate. He's God. He's got coals that nobody started. He's got fire that nobody started. This is not a historic event. This is an invisible reality. Everything we need to magnify the Lord in the land of the living is surrounding us. Seeing then we're encamped about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, Are you sure he's finished with your daughter? Are you sure he's finished? Are you sure he's finished with you? Amen. God loves us, doesn't he? Go ahead. Yeah. Mm. So this is so powerful, because on that And so this is very, very important. And so people that are not believers, that are not in the Christian faith, they don't know how to distinguish the Lordship of Christ, his divinity, which is very championed in the writings of the Apostle John and others, but very strongly. And that's very important, because that means that is the conviction of the church from the beginning. The church didn't have to vote Jesus in as God. Jesus had to vote the humans in as human. Because for the first time we saw the human when we saw Jesus. We saw the man that has no flaw, the man that won't compromise, the man that won't separate from his Father, the man that has come to be a blessing to us. Glory be to God. We saw the man, hallelujah, when we saw the Lord. And so, just as he, after the fact, could enable us to catch what we could never catch, before the fact, he supplied for us the offering we did not earn. And that is himself. I'm going to stop here. No, I'm going to stop here. What do you mean, no? I'm going to stop here. Because now we look at the pages of history, and we see champions and people used by God and touched by God and carried by the Holy Spirit. But none of them, you know, I'm talking about Old Testament champions and generals. None of them were the Redeemer. None of them were permanent. None of them could redeem us by laying down their life and taking it up again. Only the God-man would. So he became a human. You know why? Not only to give us the example, that was part of it. Not only to show us what we can grow into, that was part of it. But had he not paid the price and laid down his life, he couldn't give us his permanent residency in his life. But he laid down his life. This is powerful. He laid down his life and he plundered hell. He went to the lowest lake. And he took captivity captive. He came down from the highest heaven. He came down from the highest heaven. He took on the form of a man. And he invaded the very kingdom of the prince of the power of the air. And he spoiled the devil's house. He ransacked the devil's house as my God. When he laid down his life and he rose victoriously, he rose to appear. Now come on, eat with me. I'm going to touch your lips. I'm going to put my presence in your spirit. I'm going to fill your life. And from today forward, you won't have to wish that you will be changed into my likeness. You will cooperate with my living spirit, and I will change you by my spirit from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. If he is God uncontested, then your finish line is secure. Your victory along the way is procured. His supply every moment of every day is a reality. You can accept the ability of God. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. So, God, how are you going to make man in your own image after your own likeness? That was just words he spoke. Not words he spoke on the moment. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He had a plan. And that plan is to make unto himself a people. So I want you to see this. Do you write from right to left or from left to right? Because I'm from over there. I was born and raised in the Holy Lands. Are you listening to me? So I can do it either way. Are you from here to here? No. Okay, because we're going left to right, but right to left. Are you from here to here? Eternity. In the beginning. Was time created? In the dateless past, was time created? Was anything created before it was created? Was the word there? Is God by definition self-sufficient?
Yes.
And self-existent?
Yes.
And not dependent on any other for his being?
Yes.
God plans this over here. And this over here is a universe full of angelic beings. It's a heaven full of redeemed saints. It's an eternity with you and I, with God, forever and ever and ever and ever. So God over here, am I making you dizzy?
No.
I know some people say, Dr. Robin, that time is not linear. I don't care about all of that. I just know that normally you put the things which are behind you, and you reach unto those things which are before you. Anything else is a little maze, and forget that. To me, I'm talking linear. So over here, if he's all-knowing and he wants to get over here to where the holy family of God, compatible people with him, heirs of the mind of Christ, heirs of the fruit of the Spirit, full of the same ability of the Lord and yet dependent on him, and giving gratitude to him and thanksgiving to him for the redemption and for the salvation. Then the Lord knows from over here, before he creates anything, what we're going to need over here. Are you listening to me? So all this time, from the beginning of time, throughout the ages, there's types and shadows. Little refreshing time, little seasons, 40 years, 60 years, whatever. 100 years of the presence of the Lord with mighty men and mighty women, but it's a type. None of them are the saviors. Did he not know that from here?
Yes.
Did he not know that in order to reap, in order for him to reap the kind of people he called in his mind, he called in himself. In order for him to reap that, he's got to sow that. Did he not know that? And so sure, over here, here's what's going to happen. He's going to be born into the earth. He's going to take on humanity. And the God of the universe is going to walk around in the very living room of his archenemy. And it's going to be almost unfair. However you take that, you're right. He's going to limit himself to dependence upon the heavenly. But if he gets it right, and according to the scriptures he did, and he sows himself, and according to the scriptures he did,
yes.
then he will not abide alone anymore. And according to the scripture, he didn't. So he plundered hell. He defeated principalities and powers. And he rose victoriously to eat with you and I, not only on that shore by Gennesaret, but today he's eating, fellowshipping, and talking to us today in the mighty name that is above every name. He's God uncontested. He's God uncontested. Nothing in your life should occupy the altar of your praise instead of your Lord. He's your help. You've got no worries. You've got no fears. You've got no doubts. You've got faith in God. Everything else is repelled out of your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God.
Thanks for joining us on the Christian Harfouche Ministries podcast. Join us on our other podcast, Miracles Today. Connect with us at globalrevival.com, and we'll see you next week.